Hello, everyone. Welcome to our podcast. Calliope Awards for 2014 were presented on Wednesday, April 23rd. The name Calliope means beautiful voiced, like the muse, the inspiration of eloquence and poetry. A calliope is a musical instrument, a steam organ, the type used in a carousel. And it's a species of hummingbird. Finally, Calliope is the student journal of art and literature, published every spring at Northern Virginia Community College, Annandale. It is a collaboration of the Departments of English and Liberal Arts under sponsorship of the Division of Languages and Literature. We are bringing you the presentations of remarkable, talented people. We hope you will be inspired. Here they are. Winners in the category of English as a Second Language. Second prize, Nien Vu An Tron, Pokemon, When Imagination Can Create a Real Magic.
Pokemon, When Imagination Can Create a Real Magic. People are grateful to many people and things in their lives, such as their parents, teachers, or father. No matter what things they are thankful for, the feelings of appreciation may be very similar. I am thankful for very special things, Pokemon. It is a fictional world where there are countless magical creatures with us, also called Pokemons, living with humans. Unreal it is, Pokemon have turned what I have into enough and more. I am grateful to Pokemon because it plays a special role in my life. I play Pokemon games and watch Pokemon cartoons since I was a little child. And I was quickly attracted by them. Besides, my classmates in elementary school also like Pokemon cartoons. We usually chatted about Pokemon story every time. My childhood was more joyful and colorful thanks to those stories. When I grew up, I still loved watching Pokemon cartoons, reading Pokemon story, and playing Pokemon games, while my friends stopped doing such thing because they thought that Pokemon products were for children. They even teased me, but I didn't concern. People don't need any reason to love something, so I don't need any reason to stop my habit. I still love Pokemon now. They remind me of my naive childhood and how mature I became. I realized that Pokemon stories are not only appropriate for the childish me, but also indispensable for my spiritual life. Pokemon stories have changed my point of view in a positive way. Each story taught me a lesson that I could never learn in school. I knew how important friendships are to people's lives when I saw the protagonist overcome tough challenges in his adventure with his friends, always standing by him. I recognized that the power of pace and honesty can make everyone get closer to each other. When I saw the Pokemons and humans sacrifice themselves for other lives. Other protagonists use his pure heart to communicate with other people and Pokemon. Moreover, Pokemon story taught me that the best way to make my dream come true is to never give up on it. Although all the stories are imaginary, my dream, which is becoming a doctor, is reasonable. Therefore, I still believe in it. Pokemon stories do not lure me to a fictional world. On the contrary, they make me believe more in my real life. As Pokemon is a special product ever created, it also makes my life unique and meaningful. I am an adult now. Whenever I have a problem with my studies or relationships, I just go to my rooms and watch a Pokemon episode I play a Pokemon games. I don't feel embarrassed at my habit. In contrast, I am proud of it because it helps me refresh my mind and stay out of many temptations or bad habits in the adult world, such as suspicions, flaws, or anger. Every kind of Pokemon has its own meaning. Therefore, I usually draw a Pokemon picture and give it to my friends, my teachers, or someone I feel interested in to let them know what I'm thinking of and how I respect them. Even though I'm not a good drawer, I always feel that each picture I give away is like a bridge which connects my soul to others. Thanks to the presence of Pokemon, I can communicate with people in my own way, not in a clone way. If somebody tells me that I am so jealous for loving Pokemon, I will smile and feel pity for them because they gave up their youth while I'm still enjoying it. It's been 12 years since I watched my first Pokemon episode. The fact is that I'm growing up day by day, but Pokemon stories still remain unchanged, painful, and educative. As long as such stories still exist, I can assume that my life will be clean and cheerful, just like Pokemon.
First prize, Abdurrahim Khan, Nandi Temple.
Nandi Temple. In my life period, I have visited many countries. Every country that I have visited is unique. Of these countries, I think India is the most exciting country I have ever visited. The reason why it's special for me is that it has a wonderful combination between nature and culture. In addition, it has an enormous religious background. When I was in India, I visited many temples. However, the most attractive one was the one in South India, and it's called Nandi Temple. The reasons why it allured me were the way that they built the temple and sculpture idols, the people who serve the temple, and the rules that you have to follow in and outside of the temple. First, Nandi Temple attracts a huge number of tourists from all over the world because of its outside appearance, the sculpture idols, and the special places for animals. A tremendous number of Indian people sit in front of the gate and sell flowers and small idols. A huge gate at the entrance is colored beautiful dark maroon and light yellow. The path which takes you to the idols is another story. An abundant number of roses and jasmine everywhere make the atmosphere smell wonderful. The holy room is surrounded by 14 very tall columns colored with light colors such as bright green, yellow, and pink. When you enter the holy room, you will face three very large idols made of 10 tons of pure gold. Every idol functions differently. For instance, Agara, which is half human and half cat body, controls the moon and the sun. Ram, the god of gold, and Allahu provides people with money and food. When you get out of the holy room, you will wonder about the little barns which are distributed efficiently in every corner of the temple. The reason behind these barns is that they believe that animals are angels and their mission is to feed and protect them. Second, the people who serve the Nandi temple are extraordinary people because of their appearance, their food, and their daily life. The people who serve the temple do not wear regular clothes. They only have an orange robe wrapped around their bodies. However, monks must wear different colors than the normal servants, which is red, to distinguish them because they are more devoted to the idols than others. Moreover, they all have to be bald because they believe that being with hair in the presence of their god is disrespectful for the sacred divan. And also, in order to raise their spirituality, they must avoid eating any meat or chicken. In particular, they have to be vegetarians because monks say that if you can't give a life, don't take a life. The servants have to follow a certain daily routine every day. The routine could be changed any time by the monks depending on the circumstances. For example, normally they wake up at 4 a.m. to clean the garden, feed the animals, and prepare the sacred room for worshippers and visitors. However, just in case of inclement weather, they have to follow the monks' orders to get the temple ready to encounter a particular natural disaster. Finally, Nandi Temple has certain rules that we have to follow to show respect to Buddhism. Before getting inside the sacred room, you have to take off your shoes and put them in special places outside. There are little taps next to the sacred room to help you clean your feet to maintain the holy room clean. After getting inside, you must keep silent, and you have to pick one of the pillows there to sit on it. You are not allowed to turn your back to the idols because it's considered disrespectful for them. There is a donation box next to each idol. You have to donate at least 1 rupee to help the temple and its servants. Moreover, you are not allowed to leave the temple before getting a small gift from the monks who sit at the exit, and the gift will be either laddu, an Indian sweet, or a small idol. In conclusion, visiting India is one of the most exciting experiences I have ever undertaken. Because of the unique architectural designs of the temples, the terrific obedience of the servants, and of course, the strict rules in Nandi Temple. I believe that the only way to build a peaceful world by dialogue and understanding the other perspectives of other religions, and also the best way to attain that is to travel and discover yourself. If I have another chance to travel and explore another religion, I will certainly go to Vatican City and I learn more about the Vatican Church and its people and religion. Thank you.
Next, our winners in the category of creative nonfiction. Second prize, Linda Reyes, Genesis.
The cafeteria is a jungle safari. I enter and am nauseated by the stench of poorly contrived lunch food. The prattle of sleep-deprived students does nothing to ease my discomfort. Scanning for an empty seat, I absorb the usual hustle of the student body. A tribe of baboonish jocks salivate at the sight of their meals to my right. A herd of consonant band prodigies frantically swap homework answers to my left. In the far left corner of my eye, an unfamiliar face nervously chomps on a carrot stick. She gapes at her green salad as if it may spontaneously come to life. I am strangely intrigued by the hopeless girl. Like a gazelle, she is serene. She chews silently in her corner and is vigilant for predators, defensively peeking upwards while calmly remaining in her seat. In her, I see myself, once feeling isolated by my differences in unfamiliar territory. I am 5 years old, and the work of acculturation is defining me. Alexandria, Virginia is my kangaroo pocket. The local cafe is colonized by hordes of Mediterranean men who converse over coffee refills and Marlboro lights. Going to the grocery store on Saturday morning is like entering an international airport. I can hear more foreign languages than English itself. At Glen Forest Elementary, I know my place in a jungle. Although the aroma of lamb and couscous radiates from my body, I am inconspicuous among my peers. Huddled together in the school lobby, we are like the world market. I patiently await the school bus as my parents' thick Algerian accents howling their goodbyes rings in my ears. I become a chameleon, harmonized in the crowd. My camouflage falls away when my family moves and I begin attending a new school. Excitement pulses through my body on my first day. As I stumble through Miss Peterson's classroom, my heart drops. At the sight of my new classmates, I freeze like a gazelle in the presence of lions at feeding time. 22 pairs of eyes fiercely pick at my untamed black hair, deep skin tone, and tattered Aladdin backpack. I am the antithesis of the room. In my new habitat, I feel like I am trapped in the Barbie aisle at Toys R Us. A glint of mischief permeates through the seemingly angelic smile of each child. I imagine they are conspiring to stamp out my differences and groom me into one of their own. determined to be myself, I know I'll have to learn to live with the lions. I am no longer a chameleon. It is my first high school varsity lacrosse game. We are a new team. On the other side of the field, two cackling hyenas mock our team's outdated uniforms. The field is flooded with golden ponytails and slender, smooth limbs. It is almost impossible for me to distinguish my teammates from my opponents. As I squint to differentiate the two, a player hurls the ball in my direction. It lands between my opponent and I. The world fades away as I lock myself in the moment. Sweat rolls over the cuts of my legs. The frizzled ball on my head engulfs my face, limiting my peripheral vision. In the distance, my parents' calls travel over the yelps of the crowd. Above the cacophony, I hear the tune of my legacy. As I munch on my plain turkey sandwich, I reminisce on the length I have come. The girl whom I observe struggled to unseal her carton of chocolate milk and glanced up to see who may be amused by her naivety. Today is her first day in the jungle safari.
First prize, Luis Angel Caicho, Lesson Learned.
Lesson learned. Everything was normal in Surco, El Barrio, where I lived as a child. It was formed by 27 square-shaped lots, each one surrounded by about 30 houses. Each lot was named by a letter in alphabetical order from A to Z. My lot, or parqueo, was K, and my neighbors and I thought it was the best one. Every day after school, we used to stay late playing soccer around our homes. We didn't have soccer fields, so we used the lot where our parents parked their cars, or at least where they were supposed to park them, because most of them didn't own one. We used the small rocks on each side of the lot as goals and a nice brand new FIFA-approved soccer ball that was our treasure. One day, our routine was suddenly interrupted when boys from the J lot came to challenge us in a soccer game. We couldn't just say no. It wasn't right. When kids from another parqueo came and challenged you in anything, you couldn't turn them down. So we had to follow that strict commandment and play against them, even though they were older and better soccer players than us. Come on, fools. Let's bet some money here. How much you got? The boy who seemed to be their leader asked. We stared at each other for a couple of seconds. Nobody articulated a word, but I could tell nobody had money just by looking at all the hesitant faces. Are you telling me that you all together don't even have a single coin? He asked sarcastically. I wonder if he also could see that we were broke just by observing our faces. We were poor, and he knew that, which is why I suspected he was up to something else. It didn't take much time to find out what he really wanted. Okay, since you all don't have any money, let's bet the only thing that is worth something in your hood, he said, while staring anxiously at our ball. With a confident smile, he affirmed, let's bet your ball against this dog that we just found. I was surprised I hadn't noticed the skinny dog that was behind them. It looked to me more of a cat than a dog. Its ears were falling, and his tongue reached almost to the ground, since he apparently was hungry and very thirsty. Are you crazy, man? That dog is almost dead, one of my friends shouted, while everyone else started laughing. Everyone but me. Something inside me was telling me to help that dog. Okay, you got yourself a bet, I yelled, trying to avoid the stunned looks of my friends. Look, I know we can win this. Please trust me on this one, I replied, almost begging them. At first, they were angry and hopeless at the same time. But then we started to gain courage for the big encounter. We played like warriors, and it wasn't only for our nice soccer ball or that dying dog. We were playing for our honor. After 2 hours of kicking the ball and several falls against us, we did win the game. Nobody could believe it. Once we scored the final goal, the one that gave us the victory, we started jumping, laughing, and hugging each other. It was a glorious moment. But for the J boys, This was more than humiliating. One of them took our ball and kicked it away toward the main avenue. We started fighting and complaining about it when we realized that the dog had run straight after the ball. It was like those slow motion scenes in the movies or those nightmares when you can't move. All I did was cover my eyes and wait until it was over. The last thing I heard was the sharp sound of a stopping car and a big thump after it. The dog had been hit by a car. We all ran closer to see. The dog was not moving. "Now it's really dead," shouted the Jay boys, while evilly laughing and fleeing with our ball for the scene. And there we were, surrounding a dead dog in the middle of the street. We won the game, but we lost our ball and the dog. We went in a couple of seconds from complete happiness to total emptiness. We learned a hard lesson in the school of life. In a poor neighborhood, like the one we were living in, happy endings usually don't exist. And if they do, they last just for a brief moment, until the cruel reality slaps you in the face one more time, and again, and again. Thank you.
Next is the winner in the category of poetry and prose in foreign languages. First prize, Saida Sarahi Garcia Pineda reads her poem, Tu Amor, Your Love.
Hello, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak today. And I will start by reading my poem in English, and the title is Your Love. Your love is not dead, it's merely asleep. Lulled to sleep by time, hidden away by destiny. In my dreams, your love embraces me and teases me, like a mischievous butterfly that deceives obliviousness. I wake up and again, in my heart, your love remains hiding, like a tender bird that curls up in his nest. No, your love is not dead. It's only asleep, lulled to sleep by time, wrapped up by destiny. And now reading in Spanish. And the title is Tu Amor. Tu amor no está muerto, solo está dormido. Lo arrulló el tiempo, lo arropó el destino. En mis sueños me abraza y juega conmigo, cual mariposa traviesa que burla al olvido. Despierto y en mi corazón otra vez se queda escondido, tierno pajarillo que se acurruca en su nido. No, tu amor no está muerto, solo está dormido. Lo arrulló el tiempo, lo arropó el destino. Thank you.
The Calliope Committee is grateful to so many people at Nova Annandale, staff, faculty, and students for their generous support and creativity. Robert Brown of Nova's Web Services and Digital Media served as technical editor of this podcast. Nova, we are partners in your success. For Calliope, I'm Shirley Noon.